I feel like you have all become my Wednesday family. It's just so sweet. And here we are in the midst of this ongoing series exploring this theme of belonging that we've been sitting with from many different perspectives, and today I thought we'd look at the element of belonging to this shared circle of vulnerability. Yeah, one of the threads of connection, that it is vulnerable to live an embodied life. And I believe that's true whether you are living in a human body, in an animal body, in a tree body, you know, like with the fire that just started yesterday up in near Estes Park. It's like, oh, there's a vulnerability to all the bodies that are living in the zone of the fire. And so it's just such this precious, poignant reminder that it's actually a thread of connection, and it's a way of belonging, and it can either shut us down into our fear bodies, or it can open our hearts into deeper connection. So, as we typically do, we'll practice together for the first half of our time here, and then I'll share a few reflections and we can explore. So, gifting yourself this precious opportunity to pause. Maybe even beginning with a slightly deeper breath or two. Maybe even a sigh or two. And the settling that can come with sound. As you rest this earth body, this animal body, on the earth, the touch points between feet and the ground, you're behind on the chair or the cushion, settling into the solidity of being embodied, resting the weight of this body into the welcoming arms of gravity. Feeling the waves of the breath washing through this animal body. finding the breath wherever it's most alive for you. In the coolness or the warmth at the nostrils. The expansion and release of the rib cage. The rise and fall of the belly. Finding the place in the body where it's easeful and enjoyable to rest with the breath. And letting the ease of the breath be your anchor for this period of practice we're sharing. And let yourself notice when you lose connection with that ease. And you might find yourself noticing dis-ease in the form of tension in the body. A knot in the stomach or a furrowing of your brow. A lump in the throat. Often tension is a beautiful pointer toward our tender places. The worries or fears of our day. The losses or longing of our heart. Often lodge themselves in the body. Expressed as constriction or holding. So if you encounter a pocket of tension, you might take a few moments to just sit beside the tight, tense place inside of you. And just listen and look for the tenderness that might be there. Just like a good friend might sit down next to you in a tender moment, all you have to do is breathe. And be with the tenderness. And in the breathing, you're also already home with this steady anchor in the body. So let yourself breathe and tend the tension that takes you away from the ease of the breath. And if at any point you find yourself tangled up with a pocket of tension, caught in the story or the problem solving around it, letting yourself rest back into the ease of just this next breath. as we come to the final few minutes of our practice together. Considering how this capacity to connect with ease and to touch and tend to your own tenderness might offer a template for how to touch and tend the tenderness of the world. Be part of the co-creation of a world where all beings might know the gift of belonging, and where each being's vulnerability might be attended with care. May all beings know true happiness and freedom from suffering. May it be so. So, this idea of belonging through our vulnerability, that it's part of the circle of human belonging and also the broader belonging to the more than human world that we've been exploring, particularly through the weeks on elemental belonging that we visited. And you know, one of the questions that can arise is, you know, how do we meet the suffering of this world? You know, there's so much tenderness everywhere we turn. And, you know, over this last year and a half, we've looked at all these different ways to tend to the suffering internally and externally. And another gateway into tending to the suffering of the world is this gateway of belonging. You know, the generosity of opening doors of belonging to others, opening doors of belonging to the parts of ourselves that we've put in exile, the parts that we don't like, which, when we're honest, we all have, you know. And so again, this is another domain of practicing internally and externally to look at who do we include? Who do we exclude? What do we include in our own hearts? What do we leave out? And can there be a greater quality of welcome? And welcome can show up in many ways. And I thought I would share a few examples, and I wanted to begin with a beautiful poem. If I'm saying the title correctly, I believe it's Mimesis, and it's by Fadi Judah. My daughter wouldn't hurt a spider that had nested between her bicycle handles. For 2 weeks, she waited until it left of its own accord. If you tear down the web, I said, it will simply know this isn't a place to call home, and you'd get to go biking. She said, that's how others become refugees, isn't it? When I read this, I really got chills. I thought, wow, what a beautiful, deep lesson in belonging. Who do we include or exclude? And who do we, and what do we make, refugees in our lives, in the circle of belonging? And belonging, sometimes happens just based on what's considered, the norm. There's many big questions and big examples, and in the coming weeks we might keep deepening into some of the bigger and bigger sticky places around belonging. But I thought I'd start with one story today. It was a beautiful little video that I saw, and it was about a young boy and a sense of belonging. And I think he was a first grader, and he was born with dwarfism. So, he is a little person, and schools are not really built for little people. And his mom had taken great care and had checked in with the teachers, and they had made all kinds of modifications in his environment. And she totally didn't even think to check out the cafeteria. So this little guy comes along, and like his little head barely reaches the rack or the tray where the lunch is. And there was the lunch lady, who had worked there for 18 years, saw Julian and was sort of watching out for his experience. And the school came up with this cart, and I'm going to see if I can like share my screen, because the photos are just so sweet. So I'm going to see if I can share the first picture. So this cart on the left is what they created for him. It was this sort of made up, can you see it with the milk crate upside down? And the lunch lady said, oh, that is not cool. And so her husband happened to be a custom metal builder. And so she went home and she talked to him, and he and his team worked for like a month. And they came up with this. I don't know if you can see the photo on the right, or if you can only see the one photo. So I'll unshare and I'll share the other photo, because sometimes it won't let me share both photos side by side. So they thought they could do a little better. Can you see it now? And they built him this kind of absolutely decked out, cool motorcycle handle grips, had flames on the side, has a license plate with his name on it, and a little stool that is built into the cart so that he can pull the stool out, stand up, get his own lunch, and then like transport his lunch. And I just thought, what a beautiful story of belonging that just recalibrates. We live in a world that's not designed for people with smaller bodies. And it's such a, you know, a relatively small example. You know, we don't live in a world that's designed for, you know, people with disabilities or people from different racial and ethnic groups. It's like everything is normed to particular, you know, values. And sometimes we get really tangled up in the politics of all of that. But then in a story like this, we can feel our hearts, right? Oh, Julian, we want Julian to belong in the lunchroom, in the cafeteria. And, you know, what a beautiful example of, you know, the heart being able to touch the tender places. And part of what helps us touch the tender places in other people is when we can touch them in ourselves, which is what the value of this practice really is. You know, it's not about just going inside so I can stay inside and I can be peaceful in here and just hang out. It's when there's a peacefulness and a steadiness in this heart, when the vulnerable, pained, wounded places inside this heart and mind can be seen and breathed with and befriended, we're more empowered to notice, to recognize those places in others, and to act, to engage in those skillful, wholesome actions. You know, months and months ago, when we talked about, you know, the precepts and karma, it's like, you know, what's the beautiful action in this moment? And I thought, oh, you know, that woman who saw that little boy, she knew what the beautiful action was. I'm not gonna just let this little one walk on by. It's like how to welcome into this family of belonging. You know, to not put anyone out of our hearts, and to not put anyone out of a home, just like that little spider. Yeah, letting the circle, you know, be as wide as it can be. Harkening back to that quote from a few weeks ago, Mother Teresa's, you know, the problem is that we draw our circle of family too small. So I might pause here for today and just offer a little space, as we typically do, and to create some breakout rooms for just a few minutes of sharing so you can connect with one another in the topic. It's always optional. So Vicki, as you're joining us, this is usually how we roll in building community. And I'll set up the rooms, and, you know, about six or so minutes, you'll get the 1 minute warning, and then we'll come back for a final share, and then we can close with one more quote or poem. So enjoy each other's company, and I'll see you all in just a little bit. Welcome back. I'll just see if there's any brief sharing before we just close with a final few words of inspiration. Susan, are you wanting to share your, Susan, if you're wanting to share, you're muted. Yeah, I can close with that actually. Yeah. I'll close with that poem and maybe also just these brief words from Eudora Welty, because they'll point to where I think I'd like to go next time. And she says, "My wish, indeed, my continuing passion would be not to point the finger in judgment, but to part a curtain, that invisible shadow that falls between people. The veil of indifference to each other's presence, each other's wonder, each other's plight. You know, it's opening our eyes and opening our hearts, which is really what this beautiful poem is about. So it's a nice place to circle back to. My daughter wouldn't hurt a spider that had nested between her bicycle handles. For 2 weeks, she waited until it left of its own accord. If you tear down the web, I said, it will simply know this isn't a place to call home, and you'd get to go biking. She said, that's how others become refugees, isn't it? So I hope that this week that you have experiences of, you know, offering hospitality internally to the full village of who you are, and that you perhaps can extend hospitality to the tenderness of the world. And I will actually be back in 2 weeks. I will be traveling on Wednesday, so I will not be in front of a computer. So in 2 weeks, I'll be back and we'll continue this series on belonging. And I wish you just a beautiful ongoing exploration of the practice and how it supports the human heart and the human family. So take such good care, and thank you for your practice and for your presence. It's a delight to be with you.